question, the concepts of non-self and rebirth seem contradictory to me. Can you expand on these topics? What is it that passes from one life to the next if there's no self? That's a classic question. So I guess first, it's good to remember that the concepts of non-self and rebirth, particularly the concept of non-self, is just that. That's a concept, something we talk about and try and put into words. But I actually prefer the translation of anatta as not-self rather than non-self. To me, it seems like a little more descriptive of the process rather than trying to turn it into a philosophy or some sort of treatise, something to believe in. And the Buddha really never categorically said, there is no self. The whole teaching around anatta and not self, I find it's better to describe it as kind of a strategic contemplation rather than a doctrine that one should understand and believe. That it's best to regard all of the teachings around anatta, not self, as a contemplation that helps one to understand the nature of our experience. So that rather than saying categorically, there is no self, the Buddha's teaching is, well, look at everything that we presume to be ourself and question that, and not just question it up here. It's not just a mental exercise, but it's a deep experiential reflection and investigation based on having a very, very clear, settled mind that's free from the hindrances. So there's a bit of preparatory work. It doesn't mean we can't do these contemplations and considerations before that happens, and sometimes that's a very good way of actually helping to settle the mind, is conceptually thinking about these things. Actually, the investigation and the calming are processes that can happen at the same time, and one supports the other. But to gain a real deep insight into anatta, one needs to have quite a clear, still mind that's not involved in any of the hindrances or darting off and getting lost. That one investigates, again, that presumption of what it is that we normally regard as self. And what we normally regard as self are what the Buddha calls the five aggregates or the five khandhas, body and mind, or in some combination, is what we generally experience as this sense of me or I or mine. The five aggregates being this body, and then the mental aspects, the other four, the mental aspects of feelings and perceptions, mental formations like thinking and emotions, and consciousness itself, either by themselves or in some combination with each other, or taken all five together as a whole, is what we usually regard as myself, or who I am, or at least something that there is something that owns it. And going through systematically and questioning that and looking at that and investigating that is a strategy. It's a contemplative strategy. And the goal of that strategy is to realize what it is that you've normally assumed to be self in some way or another, and kind of teasing that apart and deconstructing that, and seeing what that experience results in. And when one realizes to a very deep extent that body, feelings, perceptions, mental formations, consciousness are not self in the traditional way that we would define a self as unchanging, solid, under our control, that kind of a thing. You know, when those aspects of what we would normally consider something that applicable to a self don't hold up, then we experience a sense of disenchantment. We're not fooled by that perception any longer. And that sense, that perception of an unchanging, always abiding entity that we would call a self, it just doesn't make any sense anymore. We can't be fooled by the illusion, and we become dispassionate towards those aggregates that we were caught up in thinking as who I am. We turn away from them in a sense and drop them as something to take refuge in. And the result is this, it's an experience or it's an understanding of not self. But it's not something that we have to believe in or, you know, sign on the dotted line or analyze conceptually. It's something that comes as a conclusion to, it's an experience that comes as a conclusion to this kind of strategic investigation. So that's really, I think, the best way to regard the teaching on anatta, not self. And how it fits in with the idea of rebirth is, well, you know, that gets to be a little complicated, and a lot of times when people would ask the Buddha this question, he basically just wouldn't answer it because it just gets people too wound up and confused. But essentially, you know, what's reborn or what moves, you know, what conditions rebirth from lifetime to lifetime when this body passes away, what's reborn in a sense are all of our mental tendencies of greed, hatred, and delusion, or on the positive side, some of the positive qualities, the paramis that we've developed. Those are mental impulses that just pass on to the next lifetime. You know, there is some reference in the suttas to a form of consciousness called the rebirth consciousness. But it's, I often feel a little hesitant to even talk about that, because then as soon as you start talking about that, people start to solidify that into an, you know, into a material object or a mental object, and trying to fix it into place like a soul or a, you know, something like that. But if you think of consciousness as a process rather than as a something, then you can just see, you know, consciousness, you know, the experience of consciousness is a momentary experience in our current life, right here, right now, that is dependent on the previous moment of conditioning. So one moment conditions to the next moment of conscious experience. It's not the same thing. It's not a solid, unchanging entity, but it's a process of awareness and experience that is dependent on what's happened before it, and what we put into it right now conditions what comes afterwards. And to realize, at least for me, it seems pretty clear that there is such a strong momentum of greed, hatred, and delusion that keeps passing on from one moment to the next, that it's hard for me to believe that when this body goes, that momentum just stops and that there is nothing else, and that momentum seeks a position, a place to land, another place to land. And that's what the process of rebirth is, whether it's landing in something in this lifetime, like in another story, another, you know, argument, or you know, another relationship, or whether it's landing in another body when this one is gone. It's all the same process of movement from one moment to the next of these impulses. And it doesn't necessarily have to have the quality of, in fact, it doesn't, you know, have the quality of an abiding, unchanging self.